You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Welcome to the show, folks. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, ready to talk to you and have our very special guest, Juan Carlos Caicedo, on the show later on. This is the environmental show. We've never really had a show of this nature on Columbia Calling, so I'm very pleased to have Juan Carlos, who is an environmental expert, trained up in the United States. He's a Colombian born, I believe. We'll have to check that out, but shortly I will be going over to his apartment in the Virrey and interviewing him there on the deck overlooking the beautiful park in one of Bogota's most I would like to live there, let's say. Yes, we'll be talking environment, we'll be talking pollution, we'll be talking the parks, we'll be talking the natural ambience here in Bogota. But before we delve into that, we'll have our roundup of issues going on in Colombia and, of course, in my life. And what can I say first? I wrote an article this week for the Turkish news media, which is where I do seem to sell a lot of articles. Regarding, of course, their announcement to not recruit anyone under 17 years of age. This is obviously a massive announcement, and if you think about it, a great number of their forces were recruited. And I think of some of the younger ones. I think Mono Jojoy, when he was killed a couple of years ago, but he was recruited as a minor. Anyway, but if you, I mean, obviously we must be pleased, but we must treat also this announcement, this declaration, with caution. And you might remember an interviewee over a year ago now called Paula Delgado Kling, who's writing an author about the recruitment of children in Colombia's armed conflict. Anyway, I got a quote from her about this situation. I'll just read it to you so you can put it more into context. Anyway, she says, "Long before minors put on guerrilla fatigues, they are, by default, already recruited. At first, children are asked to be informers for the group. Then they are made to deliver confidential messages, to transport sensitive materials, to guide forces through their terrain. They are told to loiter in police stations and army bases and then to report back on what is said. So I believe when children perform these activities, they are already recruited." Strong words there from Paula Delgado Kling. So something to think about. And of course, we've interviewed a couple of people about this. And we had Warchild, the representative of Warchild here in Colombia as well, some months ago. So, check these out if you want to hear things of this nature. Tune in to older pieces and so on. What else do we have? Well, yes, quite a controversial blog, a guest blog on my own personal website, which is richardmccall.com. And it's by Carl Meek. Carl was, an interviewee on the show some months ago, and he left to go back to England. There's quite a lot of theme about that recently, but he wrote a blog called "Trust Me, I'm a Colombian." Maybe he cuts too close to the bone. Maybe he's found something that really hurts and upsets the Colombian psyche. I can't relay everything that he said in that blog here. You'll have to go over to my blog site, richardmccall.com, and read it to see what he had to say. Because you know what? I think a lot of it's true. Maybe a lot of it might be exaggerated for effect, but in truth, it's possibly upset a few people, and I've got a few comments on that. And I'd like to hear back from you about what you think about Carl Meek's statements and declarations about Colombians. In my own personal life, we had a little bit of an issue here. In the 15 days I was out of Bogota and I was in Mompox over Christmas and New Year's, my neighbours in 8 stories above my own apartment, who like to look out the windows and see the pigeons feeding off my rooftop, they throw them food. So in that period, we've had an infestation of mice in my house, and so I've been learning a lot of Spanish vocabulary about extermination at the moment. It's it's pretty hard when you've got a baby on the way. So you've got a pregnant wife and, of course, a dog, and you've got to be careful with the venom, and you've got to be careful with the mice. And so far we've killed 5 mice. If we've only killed 5, how many more are there? And we can hear them scuttling around in the false ceilings above, in my actual bedroom. Can you imagine? It's terrible stuff. So I hope you like the way the show's going. I hope you like the way we've been developing over the years. This is, we're well beyond 80 shows now. Give me some feedback. Thank you for the emails that I got this last week, and I'm thinking about various new people to interview. Of course, you can always get in touch at columbiacalling@gmail.com and at Columbia Calling on Twitter. And we're on Facebook, Columbia Calling, and what else have we got? www.columbiacallingradio.com. But without further ado, we'll be taking a short break, and we'll be back with Juan Carlos Caicedo and talking about the environment in Bogota. So don't go away. Thank you for listening. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, as they say, here in Bogota, in the capital of Colombia. And I'm here with a very special guest, Juan Carlos Caicedo, who's a Colombian, but he was born in the United States. He was from the Bay Area, and he's come back down. Someone who's, basically getting in touch with his heritage, his cultural heritage, but he's been here a while. Of course, he's been here, on visits and stuff, but now he's down here permanently. And I've just put you into the setting where we are now, because actually he's not the guest, I'm the guest, because we're on his balcony overlooking the Virrey Park, so that, one of the nicest parts of Bogota, in my opinion. We're overlooking the Virrey Park, his dog is lying down at our feet, basking in the sunlight. It's that wonderful, it's not the clearest Bogota day, but equally we're looking out over the treetops. And Juan Carlos he's an ecologist, he's studied everything. Honestly, we'll delve into that later on. But we've got the birds of the savannah, the Bogota book, alongside us. There are binoculars here. This is a great spot for just watching the wildlife, for those of you who don't believe that Bogota might have wildlife. But it's a really privileged spot. So listen, thank you, Juan Carlos, for having me here in your house.
Richard, thank you so much for setting some time aside to come talk.
Oh, no, I've got plenty of time. It's your time that's the essence. Now, listen, Juan Carlos, you are from the United States, but you've decided to move back here to Colombia. You have been working in environmental ecological practices here in Colombia.
That's right. About 4 years ago, just over 4 years ago now, I came to visit for 3 months. And about 2 weeks into that trip, I was visiting ProAves, one of the important organizations here for bird conservation. And as in other trips, I'd always go by and say hi and see how things were going with them and what projects they were working on. And it just so happened when I was here, they were opening up a new position to manage their ecotourism department. They offered me the job and I ended up staying.
Fantastic. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's actually quite timely, because at the end of the month, at the end of February, there's the big tourism fair here in Bogota, the ANATO tourism fair, and I imagine ProAves will be there, because their reserves are becoming more and more visited. Do you know them well, the reserves?
Yeah, I worked for them for about the first 15 months that I was here, and during that time, I did a lot of trainings with their forest guards, and was able to visit. They've got, when I was there, I think there were about 19 reserves in the country, and I visited 5-6 of them over that time in different parts of the country. And yeah, the reserves are great. They're all very strategic for a lot of the endemic and most endangered species here in Colombia.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Now, let's bring it back to Bogota slightly here. Now, we're here in Bogota, we're overlooking the treetops and everything, and you've clearly got the books and the binoculars. You've done a study, you did it yourself independently, and it's entitled The Parque Corredor Ecológico Quebrada Chico, El Virrey. So it's a reference to the brook or the stream that goes down the middle of the Virrey and the park here. And you've done this study basically to investigate the environmental importance of the park. Tell us a little bit about that. What inspired you to do this? It's 38, 40 pages long. And you did it on your own back. I mean, come on.
Well, it all kind of started by sort of by a happy accident, in a sense. Me and my girlfriend moved here in December of 2014. And obviously, being an ecologist, I was interested in what birds were here along the park and insects and what was going on. And when I started asking around the different entities that work in the park, the different residents associations that are also very involved with what's going on in the area, if there are any bird species lists, if there's any tree lists, what was known about the ecology of the park. And really quickly, I realized that very little was known about the park. Essentially about the ecology of the park, there's very few studies. And very few studies in general about these types of more kind of, quote, terrestrial parks here in Bogota. A lot of work's been done in the wetlands. A fair amount of work's been done in the Cerros Orientales. But these parks, like the Virrey, kind of in between those two areas, haven't really been studied that much. And as I started doing, I started with the birds. This was in June of 2014. What species were here? And as I started realizing that there were quite a few species here in the park. And as we moved into the first migration season, say mid-September through November, it really just took off. Just in that first migration season of birds migrating down south from the north, from the United States and Canada and northern Mexico, we had 32 species so far here in the park. All in all, up until now, since June, we're at 65 species. And it was really pretty amazing that this park has been here for a long time. There's a lot of trees. And nobody's really looked at the Virrey or many of these other parks really for its ecology and what that offers and what that also adds to the ecology of the whole city.
Yeah, because, this is something I'd like to mention. I think here, people always come to Bogota, or Bogotanos, or even visitors to the city will always comment on how green the city is. But that's because they're looking up at the Cerros Orientales, at the mountains, so that gives the impression that the city is green. In truth, there may be thousands of parks in the city, but not parks as you and I know them, let's say up from San Francisco or London or elsewhere. You know, it's not actually that green. We get the feeling because of the mountains, but when you're down at street level, the environmental side of things is pretty absent. So places like the Virrey are very important.
They are. Here in Bogota, there's a concept called the Estructura Ecológica Principal, which has been developed, and the idea behind it is trying to look at the Cerros Orientales and the creeks that flow down from the Cerros in down to the Rio Bogota. And so these different creeks that come down through the city, and so some of them come through parks, or some of them go near them, what they offer for the ecology of the city. Now, say a park like the Virrey, that's kind of a long park, it's almost 2 kilometers long, starts up here in the Carrera Séptima, pretty much at the base of the Cerros Orientales, and goes all the way down to the Autopista Norte. These parks really, or at least the Virrey, and I think a lot of these parks are going to be similar, really have an astounding amount of biodiversity in them. Aside from birds, you also have a lot of insects. What these parks offer for habitat for bats here in the city as well. I think there's a lot of work to be done, and the idea is to use the Virrey as kind of a pilot project to start raising the profile of these urban parks and the ecology that they offer.
Would you think of doing these studies in other parks around the city? Are you branching out into other places or into other cities, indeed?
Right now, the focus, the idea is to complete a full year cycle here in the Virrey. We started in June 2014. We got a few more months to go until June 2015. The next park that we've already started to talk to the managers is the Parque El Chico, which is the next kind of park over. And I think, looking at the park kind of in a slightly bigger context, Del Chico, the Seminario Mayor just across the street, really is one of the few areas of the Cerros Orientales that actually come down and touch La Carrera Séptima without a major break of buildings and urbanization. So the Cerros Orientales, the Seminario Mayor, El Parque El Chico, and the Virrey, I look at them kind of as one big area. And I think all of them kind of help each other in the ecology and the connectivity that they offer each other. From here, looking downstream, there's a couple other big, important kind of green spaces along the creek. The next kind of passing now, Autopista Norte, is Escuela Militar, mm-hmm. José María Córdoba, which is, it's a military school, but it's a big green area. They have a lot of lawn, they have a lot of trees. And then if you keep continuing down through there, you'll come down into Los Lagartos Country Club, mm-hmm. and then the Humedal Juan Amarillo, which is one of the last kind of big areas before you get down to the Rio Bogotá.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at this creek in general, I think looking up and downstream is going to be a big part of this coming year. Also, I'm really involved with the Bogotá Ornithological Association. Mm-hmm. And some of those other neighbors that also live in other parks of the city, that live near them, are also becoming more interested in looking at their own park.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming up with kind of some guidelines of how a concerned citizen can get involved with knowing the ecology and getting involved with the management of the park is another big step for this year.
It will be interesting to see how you combat the bureaucracy. Because there's various different, I would say, government and local bodies, no, all vying for, vying for their position, regarding these parks and so on. So that will be a challenge, no?
It is. It's definitely one of the biggest ones. Here in the Virrey, there's 8 different public entities that have kind of direct control of different aspects of the park. And between them, there's little communication. So you have one entity doing one sort of management action that could very well be affecting the conservation that another entity is in charge with trying to conserve. One of those big examples, one of the clearest examples, is on the management of rats here in the park.
Uh-huh.
So there's the Hospital de Chapinero is in charge of doing public... the management in the public areas of rats and mosquitoes here in the public parks. And so here in the Virrey, we do have some presence of rats. Most nights that I'm out there, walking the dog or early morning in the bird walks, I do a count of the rats that I see here in, mm-hmm. here in the park. Between the Carrera Séptima and the Autopista, usually I'm counting between 3 and 5 rats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a plague of rats, but they're there.
Yeah.
But the perception that a lot of the people here in the neighborhood have is that any rat is a plague, and any rat is a major cause of alarm. So the Hospital de Chapinero that's in charge of managing these rodents or these rats use these pellets
mm-hmm.
to poison the rats, and the chemical that's used, the active chemical that's used in these pellets, is called Brodifalcoma. And when I first found that out, after several weeks of trying to talk with people, people that work in Hospital Chapinero, when I finally found that out, I started investigating that. And it just so happens that Brodifalcoma is one of the most implicated chemicals in eradication of rats that also have a major effect or can have a major effect on other animals,
uh-huh.
particularly birds and particularly owls. They can eat those rats while they're poisoned. And so it was one of the concerns. And so along the creek is the category that it has here within the city is a Corredor Ecológico de Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
So the creek has a category of protection that's supposed to augment the biodiversity here along the creek. And so the Secretaría Distrital de Ambiente, the district environmental agency,
mm-hmm.
is supposed to be managing these corridors for wildlife. But the Hospital de Chapinero, inside the same canal, is using one of the worst chemicals to manage rats that also have these negative implications for a lot of the wildlife.
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one because if you come up against the local, let's say, citizens groups who obviously don't want to see the rats and so on and so forth. But this is just part of the complex jigsaw of it all. And of course, you're an expert in this. I think everybody out there listening to the show will agree that this is absolutely fascinating. We've never had someone of this nature, of Juan Carlos Caicedo's nature, on Columbia Calling. You know, a real expert in ecology and talking to us about the situation in Bogota and this very, very beautiful area of El Virrey. Of course, if you want to get in touch, please email us at columbiacalling@gmail.com. At Twitter, we're at Columbia Calling, and our website's Columbia Calling Radio. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with Juan Carlos Caicedo and talking further about the environmental issues and his study that he's doing of the Virrey Park here in Bogota. Don't go away. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard Bacall. We're here with Juan Carlos Caicedo. We've been talking about environmental issues here in Bogota, principally around the Virrey Park here in this very wonderful part of Bogota. Anyway, we're talking to Juan Carlos, who is an expert in watershed management, natural history, and ecology. And of course, you know, he's bringing his knowledge learned from various universities up in the United States down here to Bogota, where he, you know, he is a Colombian. His parents are Colombian, so, you know, he's not a foreigner trying to force his politics onto Colombia. He's a Colombian bringing his knowledge from elsewhere here to Colombia in the hope that we can improve some of the issues here in Bogota. And now, Juan Carlos, you've done this huge study, and I understand that you're giving walks around, like sort of ecological walks around the Virrey. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, we started doing, once we had enough information, you know, we knew that there were a lot of birds here, we'd already done some background work on the trees and the vegetation, the rat situation, the different management challenges between mm-hmm. these different public entities. So we said, well, we got to start getting the word out.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see really clearly is that until people understand the ecology and the importance of the ecology of the Virrey, it's going to continue as kind of business as usual. We've always managed rats that way. We've always managed the trees that way. And so we wanted to start getting the word out locally here. Mm-hmm. And so there's the free walks that we do, open to the general public, to neighbors here in the area. People come from other parks who want to learn about what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And we started doing them in October. We did the first one, October last year, we did one in November, and then we just did one a couple of weekends ago, mm-hmm. usually the last Saturday of every month. Generally, they're kind of a hybrid of a nature walk and talk in mm-hmm. the park, a charla en el parque, where we talk about the different issues that we're seeing here in the Virrey, obviously highlighting the biodiversity that we're seeing here, the challenges that we're seeing here, and really trying to also focus on how people can support it, how people can get involved, how people can help, and using what a lot of groups use in the United States, the citizen science programs, where citizens that are concerned or interested in the issues can help me, say in this case in the Virrey, documenting the biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one species of snake here in the park.
Really?
That pops up every now and then.
It's a grass snake, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little snake. It pretty much, its main food are earthworms. It's kind of a ground snake.
Mm-hmm.
It can get to maybe 40 centimeters long or so. I've never actually seen one live. Mm-hmm. Every time I see one, they're always dead.
Yep.
Either the dog eats it or kills it. And the typical reaction of many people here in Colombia, they see a snake, they'll kill it right away. And I'd seen a couple here in this section between the 15 and the Autopista Norte, but other residents have now started taking pictures when they see them, sending me photos saying, oh, I saw one higher up in the park. People are taking pictures of different insects or different birds and sending them to me because I can't be everywhere at once. And so it's an interesting way for people to start looking at the biodiversity of the park,
mm-hmm.
and also helping support the documentation of it here as well. And so the next walk probably will be at the end of the month, and through Columbia Calling, we can set up a link.
Yeah, definitely, and because I know that people would like to hear from about this. I know that people would like to participate. So I was going to ask, you know, obviously give us the details, and I'll put it up on the Facebook site so people can join up. And I've been finding out recently that I have quite a few Colombians listening to this show. So it's they've been commenting of late and recent. My listenership is up to about 6,000 downloads a week. So there are people out there. I'm not just talking to an empty room, which is nice. But this is fascinating what you're doing. But it's a big job. This is, you're taking it on. You're going to be seen as like the crusader for this type of thing. Now, I wanted to mention a little bit. We talk about this river, the brook, the creek that comes down. There are lots of rivers here in Bogota. Many of them are underground. I know that Chico used to be Unilago. It all used to be the lake here and everything. But would you say that most of the main streets in Bogota have been built on top of rivers, because they all seem to be undulating, they all seem to be sinking, especially the Quince here. Mm-hmm. It's always, I mean, you just look at certain sections between, let's say, 93 and almost 72, really. It's just where everything is subsiding and everything. You know, there's been no sort of zoning or planning of these things and of the environmental protection.
Yeah, say most of the creeks, so they'll start up in the Cerros Orientales. Yeah. They'll be in some degree of natural mm-hmm. habitat there. As they kind of come down and drain into the city, say just below the Circunvalar, or yeah. definitely by the time they get to La Carrera Séptima, they'll all have to come underneath those streets.
Yeah.
Now some of them, like the Rirey here, will pop back up on the other side of the Séptima, and will be open all the way down,
yeah.
and actually connect here to the Rio Salitre, which is a bigger canal, and it's an open canal all the way down to the Juan Amarillo. Other creeks have bigger sections that have been built over,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, a big part of it is people, I think in a lot of cases, forget that there's creeks and that may be running through their neighborhood, or up until somewhat recently, and you definitely still see it in different parts of Bogota, the creeks are kind of these areas that most of the buildings put their backs to. Mm-hmm. Most of the buildings are kind of these dark areas, kind of insecure areas. They haven't really been looked at, say, front on.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it is actually something that the people that live around those areas want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so a park like the Rirey is a little different in that respect, where most of the buildings face the park, there's terraces that face the park. The park itself is a big draw of why people want to live yeah. here. So getting people to, in construction companies and different planning groups, to start looking at these different creeks as a bonus is really something that they want to look at, that they want to protect, that they want to make better,
mm-hmm.
is a big part of it. Obviously, these creeks as well, aside from the kind of the structural aspect of getting built over, a lot of them will also drain street water, rainwater off of the streets. Here, still in the Rirey, you still have a lot of conexiones cerradas.
Mm-hmm.
So you have straight contaminated water coming from some buildings still into the creek. And so you have these fluctuations along throughout the day and throughout the year. We have these peaks of contamination, which is going to be one of the big challenges of an eventual, say, cleaning up of the creek, of looking at the contamination of the detergents, the greases, fecal coliforms that are extremely high throughout the year.
Mm.
One of the only reports that I've been able to find about the quality of the water here in the Rirey in particular is from 2013, from the Secretaría Distrital de Ambiente. The fecal coliforms, as the creek comes down through the Carrera Séptima, there's an incredible increase in fecal coliforms between the Séptima and the Autopista.
Really?
So there's still evidence of a lot of black water, aguas negras, mm-hmm. Coming into the creek. That same organization also has these objetivos de calidad, these mm-hmm. kind of benchmarks, these water quality benchmarks. So for the Rio Salitre, in this section of tributaries, fecal coliforms, for example, by the year 2016 should be at 1,000 parts per 100 milliliters of water.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a lot, but you know, it's still much better. It's a target. By the time the Vire gets to the Autopista, we're at 70 million parts per that same 100 milliliters per water. So we're absolutely nowhere even remotely close to reaching the water quality targets that the city's trying to establish.
And basically they've got to reroute and reorganize the sewage system in these luxury areas, basically, to then even reduce the fecal matter found in the river.
Yeah, one of the challenges is that, say, an area, say the neighborhoods around the Vire have grown up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, most of these buildings were homes, two-story houses. So the density of the urbanization has really skyrocketed here. And you see that, whether it's the same, you know, more traffic in the streets, more toilets being flushed. And so the capacity to manage that hasn't stayed on track with the development of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of buildings being built, but you don't see the alcantarillado,
mm-hmm.
or the actual tubes that are supposed to collect that black water also growing. And obviously, has these sorts of projects here in Bogota, any project that maybe should only be a month or two can drag on for a year.
Yeah.
And so opening up some of these streets to replace the sewage lines is a major, major challenge.
Let's run past that figure again. The idea for 2016 is to have 1,000 parts, and at the moment it's 70 million.
That's right.
It's terrifying. That's a terrifying statistic. I mean, you know, when you think about it. Now, there's been a lot of reports out in the press of late about the cleanup process for the Bogota rivers, isn't there? Principally the Rio Bogota they always mention. I mean, is the level of toxicity in that river really that high? I mean, what do you know about this?
I don't know that much about the technical aspects of the water quality in the Rio Bogota right now. But what I do know is that all these tributaries that feed into the Rio Bogota, and the Vire, if we look at the Vire and we assume that it's probably one of the cleaner creeks in this area, imagining what the water quality is in Ciudad Bolívar and some of the more depressed parts of the city, it's got to be even worse. And so they're focusing a lot of money, a lot of resources in the Rio Bogotá. But one of my kind of questions about it all is, how much of that money or the planning is also being spent in the tributaries that feed into the Bogota?
Would the money be better spent in, let's say, the tributaries? Would that create a better, let's say? Yeah.
Well, I think it should be part of the overall vision. How much or what percentage should be slated for the tributaries? We'd have to look at some of the more technical aspects of it.
Mm.
But if we don't clean up the tributaries, it's going to be real hard to really look at an integral management of the whole river.
It's absolutely fascinating, this. I mean, we're talking about the growth, you know, the almost exponential growth in this area, just like, let's say, the luxury apartments that have grown up when they've knocked down the townhouses and stuff. But we haven't even discussed the social aspect, even, you know, the invasiones, so let's say the illegal barriers up on the hillside, which have to be also contributing to this. There's a whole connection. It's not just some, so let's say, all too often, you know, an environmental policy or an environmental debate, and in particular, I think in Colombia, we'll come back to that. Oh, no, these loony environmentalists are trying to stifle growth and economic benefits and so on. But this is everywhere. And you know, once, because I was kind of tired taking my dog, that's not my dog in the background, but we're over the Vire, tired of taking my dog to the Simón Bolívar Park, the Vire Park, the Parque Nacional. So I took him out, I took him south, because I hadn't been to South Bogota much, and we drove down to see the Tintal Park. And my dog went and then swam in one of the, you know, off-limits legs there and got sick. I mean, there was something there. And he got sick, and we had to put him on antibiotics and everything. I mean, that's, you know, and these are dogs. Dogs are pretty, you know, they survive, you know. These guys all drink from puddles, and he's, yeah. he swims in the Rio Magdalena up in Mombos all the time, which has got all manner of mercury in there and everything. But you know, in the Tintal Park in South Bogota, he got sick within hours of having been in that water. It's just a little bit terrifying when you think about it, and I always wonder about that, and these the sort of storm drains and the canals through Bogota and so on. It's you know, it's really interesting to hear this from you, but it's also kind of terrifying to hear the statistics.
It is. It's kind of a scary situation, and it seems like a daunting situation.
Yes,
but it's important to have to understand really the how big of a problem it is. In the complexity of it, then once we can kind of have a diagnostic of all the different of the entire situation that's happening here, we can at least start the discussion of where do we want to prioritize our efforts. Say one of the examples, the main Asociación de Residentes has been here for 25 years.
Yeah.
Up until I started doing this report, they'd never looked at the ecology of the park. Or even the water quality. And so there's some days you can come down to the bidet and you can just smell that something's going on in that water.
Yeah.
But until we were able to get some real numbers, some scientific, technical numbers on the water quality, it really puts it into perspective of really what were the severity and how big of a problem we're looking at.
Now, I understand that you've done these reports. Is your study online or anything, or is there a website you can direct us to?
Not yet. So the study, I started in June. What you've seen is the preliminary report, which goes from June to the end of November.
Sure.
The idea is to complete the year cycle here in the park and then start publishing different articles from there.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of the... Why I started, or why I made that report in that first part, is because the Association of Residents and different entities are making decisions now about the park without a lot of ecological background. So it was kind of a rush to get this first one out, to start saying, hey, before we start making major decisions at the park, let's look at the ecology and let's look at how those different management actions can either impact in a good way or in a bad way what we're finding.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just the baseline of what's here now, but are there things that we can do here in the park to actually augment the biodiversity here in the park? And there's a lot of things that other parks are doing in other cities and other countries, best management practices that I think are really easy to start adapting here in Bogota, in particular here in a park like the Riday. And so the idea is to use the Riday as a sense of, is a type of a pilot project where we really start looking at everything from the design of the flora and fauna, or the flora and what fauna that brings, gardens, how different public and private areas that come together here in the park. Say all these buildings along the park, along the corridor, they all have gardens out front, but most of them just have lawns or just have some roses. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to make these gardens a lot more ecologically interesting and functional.
Mm-hmm. But I understand that you're going to be talking to the Jardín Botánico, the people, who sort of control, let's say, the Jardín Botánico. Will they, do you think they're going to be open to this debate? Because at the end of it, you know, there's a lot of goodwill towards these plans, and they'll particularly like the fact that you've done this study for free. Because that's what they'll come down to. There's no money. No hay plata. La olla está vacía. La cuchara está raspando. You know what they say here. Because I have my little place up in Mompos, and even to get a branch cut down, it's like, well, you know, we have no money for the gasoline for the chainsaw. So I'll have to put it forward. But you know, something of this magnitude, how do you feel that they're going to get involved?
Well. Up until now, I've had a really good response from a lot of different people in the Jardín Botánico.
Mm-hmm.
This meeting that's coming up on Thursday is with a lot of high level directors, the technical director, the director of the garden itself,
mm-hmm.
and they have a pretty good amount of presupuesto, of funding, because they are in charge of the big part of the arbolado, the trees here in the city. And so the idea is to not manage all of these parks the same as, say, street trees. Street trees have a lot of different limitations of soil, of contamination, of space to grow, and wires above them and stuff like that, that have a kind of a special management. But in bigger areas, especially areas with a lot of biodiversity like these parks, I think we can do a management slightly different, where we can have a lot more, the criteria can be a little different, and we can have a different selection of trees. And so one of the things that I found of the trees that are already here in the park, most of them are all flowering and fruiting in the first half of the year. The second half of the year, there's very little flowering fruit, nectar and seeds for birds or other fauna. So the idea is to try looking at trees that can provide that, and particularly in the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Also, pollinator gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the gardens in Bogota, and especially in the public areas that also that the Jardín Botánico also design and manage, aren't that functional ecologically. They could be a lot better.
Yeah.
And so when you look at parks or different organizations in the United States or in Europe, Australia, and Asia, they're doing gardens designed for beneficial insects, for native bees, butterflies. I don't see why we can't do that here.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I think, well, I'm, you know, my hat is off to you, because you've taken on some work that's going to be tireless, I think, at the end of it. And but it's for the good of the city. It's for the benefit of the people. It's for the benefit of the nature. It's for the benefit of the growth of the city. I mean, look, as we sit here now, and you're about, I'm watching the birds. I think it's swallows and so on. You're just, you know, dipping in and out. It's just fantastic. And so, of course, you every morning here with your coffee, you're inspired. You're inspired to keep working.
I am. And also, there's a lot of other people doing similar work in other parts of the city, organizations that are doing a lot of work, a lot of good work, say, in the wetlands. And so the idea is to try to help or get involved with those organizations and really strengthen these networks, raise the profile of these urban parks. So these urban parks are also being looked at for the ecological benefit, as the wetlands or the Cerros Orientales are.
Well, don't stay a stranger to Colombia Calling, Juan Carlos. Thank you for talking to us. Let us know how it all goes. Let us know what the future plans are, so that we can keep on informing the people of what's going on in our city here in Bogota. And of course, if you start to expand into other cities and other regions, let us know, because maybe we'll have the contacts to help you out in Medellin or Cali or wherever. But probably we won't. But you know, this is a small show. Listen, I'd like to take this moment just to say thank you very much for your time. Thank you for having me in your house, in your balcony, overlooking the Virrey Park, and just enjoy a coffee up here and to chat, because that's what it's been. You've informed us, and it's been fascinating. So thank you for your time.
Great, Richard. Thank you very much, and I'll definitely let you guys know as things progress and in when the next nature walk here in the park is.
Yeah, you might even get me on it, but depending on when it is, and if I can bring my dog.
Yes, dogs are welcome.
All right. Well, listen, we've been talking to Juan Carlos Caicedo, who is an expert in watershed management, natural history, and ecology, educated in the U.S., but of Colombian descent, and he's here, you know, making things happen and helping out Bogota. This big report, more than 38 pages, not completely finished yet, but he's just been doing it off his own back, off his own dime, you know, trying to make a difference here in Bogota, here in Colombia. This is what we like to talk about. This is what we really, you know, it fills us with a kind of joy. You know, it's uplifting that there are people out there doing this. You know, it's an altruistic kind of study and an activity. So that's me signing off here for Colombia Calling. Get in touch, you know, ColombiaCalling@gmail.com, ColombiaCallingRadio.com, and at Colombia Calling on Twitter. I hope you've enjoyed this show. It's taken a different tack with the environmental side of things, but you know what? It's something that we need to talk about. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Colombia Calling. Thank you for listening.